Put my mic back, right?
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. We have the production crew here helping us out. My name is Lynn Free, and this is another evening of our conference call. And actually, I think people are actually checking in all over the place. Maybe it's increasing. This is a phone call that is live on the Internet, and we have a group of people on the telephone. Let's see how many people are there.
There are 7 participants in the conference.
Okay, we have 7 people going on 8. Did I hear just 8 come in?
Hi, it's Robin.
Hi, Robin. You know, I was thinking about you today.
You were?
I was. I hope that's good.
I hope it was happy for that.
Oh, it was. It was good. It was good. We're talking to, like, everybody on DBS right now, just letting you know. You're not anonymous. Is Terry there? Oh, my God, she's leaving me here by myself, huh? Oh, whoa.
Well, you're going to have to dig your own channel.
our topic this evening was to continue last week's call, which was very interesting, which was a conversation with, who was it? I think it was Ra'an, with part of the Elohim present, on dying and death and in-between states. And Terry said she was going to be on, so
and
hopefully.
She'll be here.
Pardon me?
I said she'll be here.
She's usually responsible.
I mean,
especially compared to me, she does better than I do. So for those that are listening and tuning in on BBS, this call is kind of a seat-of-your-pants adventure that usually ends up being interesting, but only by happenstance. It's never designed that way. And it's a manifestation of a group that has been meeting every Monday night for quite some time now, probably a few years, and on a telephone conference line. And we have been learning as a group how to come together and create what I call a group consciousness, or a blending of our energies in other dimensions. And for people that are listening with their minds, who are tuning in for the first time, if anyone happens to fit into that category, this is not, if you're listening with your mind, you may hear things that don't make sense. And maybe for the first time, sometimes this is a new concept for someone, this idea of blending energies in other realms. Was that Terry, by any chance?
Nope.
Well, that was Matt coming in, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wrong direction.
But you can start out with a premise. And the premise is that each of us is a multi-dimensional being that exists not only in the physical realm, but in other realms as well, which are sometimes called the hologram or the matrix. It's different timelines that you extend into, but your conscious self is not directly aware of. Although many people who have deja vu experiences, psychic experiences, healing experiences, are people who have learned how to develop a relationship with this hologram that we exist in. And so on this call, we are essentially assuming that relationship. So if it's something new for you, kind of go along with me for a bit and see if something happens inside you or you feel something, because many people do when they're on this call. And was that Terry coming in?
Yes. Hello.
Oh, hi, Terry.
Hi.
Wayne said you would be here. He yep. knew you would. I said, where?
Yes, I'm in a parking lot in Torrance.
Right. So here we all are. And if you can imagine for a moment, it would be as if each of us has a body at a different location somewhere scattered around the United States and maybe scattered around the world. And each of you is in your body, and most of the time we experience ourselves as close to the body, and our energy field, if we're lucky, I say if we're lucky because for many people they're not lucky and they don't even have this, but if you're lucky, your energy is moving through your chakra systems, which is there's seven chakras in your body, starting from the base of your, what do you call it, the root chakra in between your legs, going to the sex chakra, to the solar plexus chakra, to the heart chakra, to the communication chakra, to the third eye, and to the crown chakra. And most of us are lucky, or it's a challenge, and it maybe still be a challenge for some of us, to have our energy flowing inside our bodies and all our chakra systems. And but on this call, we are doing something bigger than that, because we are expanding ourselves, or we're intending to expand ourselves bigger than our chakra systems. And once you go outside of your own physical body chakra system, you move into a multidimensional world with multiple timelines, with good guys and bad guys. And at the very top, there are these two group souls that we've discovered that act as the chief administrators for our universe. And this is something... Oh, I better mute everybody a bit. Hang on a second.
All callers are muted.
And so... we've learned how to develop a rapport, a relationship with these group souls. And the idea being that the hologram of ourselves really is quite unlimited. It goes on as big as you can imagine it or intend it to be until it hits a block. And the block comes from some old pattern or from some restriction or from some negative force. We all do have blocks. And part of our goal is to learn how to unblock ourselves and allowing ourselves to expand into, if not the celestial cosmic universe, at least into the space where we can experience that other people are part of us. In other words, at some point on this energy hologram, you have your hologram and I have my hologram, but we can move through our holograms to the point where for a period of this call, we can experience what it's like for our holograms to connect with each other. And when they do, there's kind of a magic that occurs, and people experience it as a uplifted feeling, as a connection that they've always been waiting for, or looking for, and suddenly we have a bunch of people that never met each other, and yet here they are, here we are on this call, and we're experiencing it. Now, you don't have to meet other people to experience it. You just have to have a group that are coming together with a common intention for that to occur, and at least one person in the group able to become a reference point for the rest of the group so that they can help meld in everyone's intention so the experience actually happens. And so when we do that, we are also moving into the part of the hologram where we can become visible to these really high energies in the hologram. And of course, since we're dealing, it's kind of like we're walking around in a room blindfolded, and we have to figure out what's really present, because our physical senses have no guidelines or no way of perceiving this directly. But we can experience the energy flow. As you've opened up your chakras, you can feel the energy flow through your chakras and out the top of your head, and you can know that it's going somewhere, and you can feel when the energy comes back, when it reaches something and comes back to you. And this is not something that you can explain in your linear, rational mind, because it's not a normal experience as a human. So there's not even necessarily a vocabulary to describe it. Although I believe that Jesus was having and creating this experience for the people around him, and he called it communion, which we could call it that, but I prefer to call it blending or braiding of energies in this matrix, because this is not a religious meeting. And when you start using religious terms, people can exclude themselves because they think it's religious. So, in fact, you could call it a spiritual meeting, but everything is spiritual. There's nothing that's not spiritual, but not everything has this blending of energies. And really, many people can do this that don't know they can. The thing is, you have to do it without an agenda. It's not something that you can do it if you're worried about whether people like you, because then you'll be too self-conscious to create your intention through the veil. You can't do it if you want something from someone and you're trying to manipulate them so that they can give you something or you can get something out of it. That will screw it up. There has to be a fairly pure intent to say, I just want this group to come together in oneness, and I'm willing to be the light holder. I'm willing to set the reference point so that other people can track into my reference point. Now, I'm setting the reference point on this particular call, but we've been doing this for, as I said earlier, a couple, 3 years, and many of the people that have been on this call repetitively and have heard these, well, the channelings of, and we didn't mention that, but, you know, we are not only having these energies join with us, we're also having them speak to us. And there's certain people that can be a voice for these energies, and Terry is one of them. And so while we're feeling the energy of all this going on, we can also hear the intelligence in those other dimensions that can speak to us and verbalize the energy and verbalize our experience. And as I was saying, people that have been on this call for a long time, many of them have learned to be reference points. And the thing about being a reference point for this energy is to learn first to be a receiver, to feel it when someone else is doing it. And then after a while, you've learned how to adjust your radio receiver to tune it in for yourself, and you then gradually get the confidence that if you talk to a group of people, that you can be the reference point for them. And of course, this is not an ego trip. It's not an exalted position. It's just what is so. And in fact, if it becomes an ego trip or an exaltedness, you'll probably blow it. Because what will happen is, if you're doing it from your ego, you will become attached to the response of other people, which automatically contracts the hologram. Now you become bound into the hologram of people that you're attached to their response. So it's very important, if you're going to do this from a pure space, to stay detached from the response of other people. Of course, one wants to share it. One wants other people to uplift, and it's an honor and a blessing to be able to do it for other people. But the ego, the lower part of the ego, that wants people to say, yes, we're great, I'm great, you're great, will then look for the recognition of the greatness and get attached, and then will not be as effective anymore once it's coming from that place. So those of us that have been on this line regularly are learning this and becoming more and more adept at it. And it's certainly something that I have watched myself go through and become more adept at it, and looking at the things that are the various parameters as to how to make it work, because we're all leaders in training, so that we can help. Ultimately, we have to hold this energy. We don't have to, but it would be most beneficial to our planet if we were able to hold this energy for as many people as possible, each of us. And that is what uplifts the vibration of the planet. That's what gives the higher forces more permission to do interventions down here. That's what creates a vibration that uplifts people, even when they don't understand what's going on. Because people can tell, or I won't say everyone, many people can tell when they walk into a space where this energy is prevalent, because they feel the upliftment of the energy as soon as they're around it. And so the key is learning how to hold this energy and hold it in an expanded space and hold it without being caught in the judgment or opinions of other people, to have the wisdom to know what to say and what not to say, so that you can be a co-creator with divinity in your physical experience. And that is our challenge, and that's what we're all learning to do. That's what I'm learning to do, and those of you that are checking into these calls regularly and listening to the channelings and the messages, essentially, that's on the most simplest level what's happening over and over and over again. And you can get into very sophisticated explanations, and some of us might need them, our minds might need them. Some of us, it helps to give faith that that's really what's happening. And others of you just know, you feel the energy, and we're on the call, and we're off and running. So last week, we started the topic of death and dying. And I can honestly say I can't remember a word of what we said last week, so I hope we don't repeat the same information, but I'll probably remember, and Jerry will on some level, and maybe we'll ask some questions, and I'll let you guys ask questions. And for anyone that's listening for the first time, Terry and I have known each other for a long time, and Terry I would suggest that anyone that wants to, for the moment, my next book called Conversations with the Elohim is available for free at the website dimensional-shift.org. And I recommend you read it. It's probably one of the best documented cases of interaction between realms that you're going to find. And, you know, I recommend that everyone should be a skeptic. And unless they take the time to read that book, they may not get over their skepticism, because they're going to listen to this call and say, can that really be happening? Is that who he says it is talking? And I think you should ask those questions. But you know what? Don't discount it because you asked the questions. Read my free book, and it probably has a lot of convincing evidence that this just might be real, that we are talking, communicating with sources that are not individual consciousnesses, but they explain that they are group consciousnesses, and they operate in huge teams, and they say they don't have bodies, and they describe themselves as being outside of time, and that we are in time. Kind of like the Joni Mitchell song that goes round and round in the circle game. And we are stuck in time, so to speak. And according to the way they explain how it works down here is that we go through many, many, many lifetimes stuck in time. And it's not easy to get unstuck. And they are available to help us get unstuck. And that's one of the great advantages of making these connections, that we have a connection with a source outside of time. It's making itself known to us and making their frequency known, so we learn how to tune them in. And Terry is able to take their words and make them verbal and comprehensible. But when we have a conversation, to the best of my understanding, we are talking to a group energy, and a group energy that is trying and available to help us. And an energy that goes beyond your physical existence here, that if you make that connection and you can hold the frequency, it's something that will be available to you when you die. And it could be really important because it could create a difference in your future incarnations. Now, again, if there's people listening that don't believe in reincarnation, that's fine. You know, there's enough evidence in the course of our group and my book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, that's pretty convincing and compelling, and I urge you to read it and decide yourself. But for the purposes of this call, we are making the assumption that reincarnation is real and that we are at this very unusual period in the history of all our lifetimes, which one cannot understand directly unless one has a source that one can trust to explain it. Now, there are many people who are sources that can't explain it. And if you start cross-referencing on the internet, you'll find them. You'll find loads of people who are channeling, who are connecting with these sources. So we're just one of many. And we're not saying we're special, but probably what is special about what we do is we're putting it out in a fairly public way. And that's a little bit unusual. And the reason we're able to do this is specifically because the energy of this group that's been holding on these conference calls has created a safe zone so that when we do this, we're not trying to prove ourselves. We're just doing it. And then it's up to you who's listening to decide if it was real or not. If there was not that energy, then it would be almost impossible to do this for a bunch of strangers who were wondering if it was real and making us try to prove ourselves, because the energy of trying to prove yourself blocks group energy. It's not a group energy, it's a mental energy, it's a discerning energy. And for this kind of channeling to occur, there has to be a group energy. A group energy means we come together in that hologram and they join us in our group energy, and that's what permits a safe place for communications to occur. So on that note, I never know if Terry's in the mood, but she usually is. And I should ask, Terry, are you in a place where we could bring them in and continue our conversation from last week?
You have some questions?
Well, yeah. I was going to come up with some questions, but before I do, I'll call in the light and just bring in a more of a protective energy.
Yeah, let me move my car because I'm in a kind of a funny place in the parking lot and there's a lot of traffic going by. I'll try and get in a better place.
Okay. Well, I'll give you a moment to move your car. And, you know, the interesting thing about this is as those people who have listened, this is totally unrehearsed. This is spontaneous. And I know if I was you, I would be a skeptic. I'd be thinking, is she making that up? What's going on there? And of course, you know, I said that this, if you study it, it withstands a lot of scrutiny. And part of the scrutiny comes in the fact that of the whole story of what happened to me and how these communications got started with people. I had written the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and obviously they were seeking me out to speak to me because they thought that this was really important and that I was able to put it into the world. And those of you who have studied this, there's pretty compelling evidence that I've done this in other lifetimes and that I had the wherewithal to know how to do it. Now, I didn't know this. When these communications first started, I was thinking, this is the most crazy thing ever, and I felt like I was in a sci-fi movie. And then they started predicting newspaper headlines and, of course, the miracle of my sister's life. And I still had no idea how to do it. I had no idea how to talk about it to people. And they said, just talk to one person at a time, and it will get its own legs. And that's basically why we're here today, because I kept talking to people, and that led to being on, you know, having a group on a Monday night conference call and having the show on BBS. Now, Terry, did you move your car yet?
Yeah, I moved my car. This is a lot better spot right here.
Okay. So, you know, the kind of communications we're having now, you'll notice, are very casual. And the interesting thing is that they don't seem to desire what I would call devotion. You know, the forces that have been talking to me, the intelligences, if I have it right, many times throughout history have been considered or interpreted as God on this planet. And they don't really say they're God in the way that we thought of God to be. They are group energies, and they are breakaways from the original first cause. And there's two groups. One is the Elohim group, and one is the Ra group. And they are outside of time, but they can beam energy into time. Beam, I guess, is the best way to describe it. We have all these holograms between us and the first cause, or nothing. And very close to the first cause, we have the Elohim. And then somewhere down the ladder, we have the Ra group. And the Elohim, when we pick up on their frequency, can start working through the matrix and bringing energy right into our space. And I know many of you are feeling that as I describe it. And so we need to create a protected space, because from them to us, there's what you could call some negative zones, and we don't want those energies intruding on the work we're doing. So, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light, transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy, radiating from the center of our universe to the center of our galaxy, through all our planets and our planetary fields, being modified as it moves through them. Through the atmospheres of the Earth and through our bodies, and grounding itself into the center of the Earth. And right now, we are going to use our intentions to create a blending of our energies, an interweaving of our souls, what Jesus called communion, and create a space and invite those group souls, those positive group souls, to join in our space, to join with us. And we create a group energy, a huge group energy, that we can work with, we can put prayers into, we can put intentions, and it can help us manifest things in our own lives that we don't have. And many of you can feel this energy as you shut your eyes right now. You can feel it. You can see the light around your third eye. You can feel the in-streaming energies coming into your crown chakra. And you can feel them in a very subtle kind of way. And in just a moment, we'll be able to hear them. And we're going to continue, I think, our conversation of last week. And some of you might want to come up with a question. And if you do, I think we'll have time later to bring in a couple of questions on the subject of death, dying, and where are you in between lifetimes. So, do we have a source present?
Yes. We are the Elohim, and we are present. We are ever present.
Now, since I was talking about you and describing how you interact, and I did that over our long history of conversations, did I seem to get that accurately, or is there anything you would like to add or correct or change in the way I described it?
we are available to listen to your prayers, your askings, and we are available to help you with anything that you wish to be helped with that is for the highest good of all concerned. We are companions. We know a lot. We do not have all of the answers. We are as you are, and we are companions. We are very powerful and have at our command a whole pharmaceutical cabinet of remedies and of knowledge that we can aid you with. We do not pretend to know everything. We blend with your energy. Your energy is sacred, and we can only blend as much as we are invited to blend. If we do not feel that it is the right thing to blend, then we can stand by. In answer to your question, with the connection with each and every individual, we hold that sacred, and we are ever mindful that your energies are extremely important. We are limited to some degree in what we are saying. We want to say sacrosanct. However, the channel does not know the meaning of sacrosanct, so we are sometimes held back by the channel's lack of words. Do you have questions or more questions concerning this topic?
You didn't quite answer my question directly, and that was, did I describe things somewhat accurately in the way we connect with you prior to having you come through verbally?
In the connection of the earlier call, the connection was not fully made, and the channel was in a very bad location, and therefore, although we followed minute by minute, we do not have the information to answer your question.
I see. Because the channel was not completely focused.
That's correct. There was four lanes of traffic moving past her in very close.
Mm-hmm. When you're communicating with the channel or connecting with the channel, can you look through us and see what our world looks like through our eyes?
We can surround you and share the boundaries. Now, as far as totally sharing space with you, we stand at a distance, engage ourselves in the merging effect, as we do not wish to violate your space. We can only merge directly if a person is prepared and ready and able to maintain their space while sharing space.
Many people would tend to propitiate or lose their center, I suppose, if they are actually sharing very, very close space with you.
Yes, we do not wish to take people over. We wish to allow them their own sacred free will, and therefore we are very careful as we interface with people.
Mm-hmm.
We do not wish to violate their own tenets.
You were talking about having like a huge pharmaceutical laboratory that could help us down here if we knew how to draw on it. Is that accurate, the way I heard you?
Yes. We have a very great reservoir of knowledge, and if a person asks, it may be drawn into their sphere.
I know that when people have diseases or health problems, for example, or traumas, that many of these things start as frequencies, and that there are frequencies that counter the frequencies of the health problem. Is that accurate, the way I'm describing that?
Yes, it is. However, when an individual sets up his own frequency in which he is bringing forth disease or is affecting his body to shut down the flow in various parts of his body, then that of his own free will, or even that is something he has allowed into his space. It may not be of his own free will, but it may be bringing through something that has been put upon him in the past, and then he has assumed that it is something that is a part of his space, which it does not really have to be, and it can then precipitate illness. In fact, all illness is stemming from originally a lack of flow in one part of the body or another, or lack of the connection of an individual with his environment that's been inhibited.
What would be the way for a person who wants the Elohim's help in a health problem to let go of their own creation of a disease and allow the help of the Elohim to help them?
First thing is to observe one can run flow down the front of his body around and back of his body over his head and down.
Could you talk closer to the microphone, please, Terry?
We to bring the energies down the front and around and up the back and over their head and down the front, and sense any lack of flow of energy. The energy, we are having to reestablish the connection as the connection got broken. If a person is not asking for a disease or a situation to be healed, if he has assumed that it is a foregone conclusion that that disease will take its way, then it is very hard to overcome this predisposition. For instance, if a doctor would tell a patient, well, you have a terminal illness, this is very hard to overcome because beliefs are very, very important in what a person is able to affect in his own space. The first thing would then be to look at his beliefs. Does he believe that this illness can be overcome? Then to ask and to run flows through his body and see where the flows are stuck, and again to ask for freeing up of the flow, to ask for synchronicities to give him knowledge. There is much knowledge in the third density on how to heal. To ask for synchronicities that these techniques may be presented.
That they might find the techniques.
Yes, that they might find the techniques. And again, we can then also create techniques and healings for individuals if they are asking and truly wish to be cured. There are some things that we may wish to point out. For instance, the individual who had pneumonia on a ship in World War II, and the ship got bombed and sunk, and the individual got better really fast. And someone said, well, you're in hospital garb, what were you sick from? And he realized that it was pneumonia, and his pneumonia had gone away in the sinking of the ship. And he was totally cured of the pneumonia.
Okay. Could you work with the people that are listening right now if we took a moment of silence?
Yes, we can.
So let us do that and let everyone who's on the line who's feeling the energy, let that energy come through. Is there any guideline you'd like to give for the people that are listening that would like to avail themselves of this connection?
There is no particular guideline except to just within your own heart and in your own way to feel the energy and to ask. Don't force the asking. Force does not work. Just feel it in your heart that there will be a change, and ask for a change for whatever you wish to have changed for the highest good.
Okay. We'll just take a moment of silence to let everyone do that process. Okay. Thank you very much. We wanted to ask and understand some questions about death, dying, and the in-between realm levels. Now, there's a couple of books out. I think the Tibetan Book of the Dead or the Egyptian Book of the Dead, where they talk about the word bardo, B-A-R-D-O, as a, some of the in-between stages of death. Now, I don't know if Terry knows that word, and maybe it will get not be able to be answered if that's not the case. But do you have a comment about that?
The channel does not know the word bardo and has never heard the word bardo.
Okay. Well, let's just talk it in general. When you die, obviously your body leaves, and we've talked about some of the options where you become a ghost and you actually stay in your astral body and still hang out on the earth plane as a ghost. And then the next stage would be where I suppose you're not a ghost, but you're still, what would be the next, let me ask you, because I don't know these answers, just guessing. What would be the next stage if one was not a ghost and was still in their astral body, I suppose?
Do you have a definition of the word bardo?
Well, it's just in between states of death. Like different levels that you go to and maybe get stuck at and maybe you move through. In other words, when you die, now we've read a lot about this, when you die, some people just hang out as ghosts and maybe even as a ghost they might move into another body and become a new body without ever even leaving the physical or hardly leaving it, and others are in the astral. And then there's other levels of in-between states. And then people talk about going into the light. And maybe we could understand some of the differentiations of these states that happen after the body is dropped.
All right, we have discussed in the past some of the different levels of the states that a person goes into. They can entirely leave the hardness, the fastness, firmness of the third density and move into seven levels above into the realms of any person may move into and experience lessons. As they move into the light, they may have an experience of meeting the relatives, the animals even that they have known and to be taken through tunnel into a realm that is much like your realm but is thinner, in which they may then have a take on a thinner but real yet body structure and be able to integrate with their the individuals that they have known.